Well, thank you and good morning, everybody. I always thank Pastor Don for the opportunity to share the word. I fell in love with the Lord, and that's one of the things I love to do. I may not do it as 100% like maybe a lot of great pastors out there, but I can assure you that my love for the Lord is genuine, and when I share it, I mean it, because it has touched my heart and it has done a lot of changes in my life. And this is a great time. Unfortunately, the resurrection is not really prayed that much as we prayed other parts of the Bible, like the resurrection, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Easter Sunday is a globally known as a religious Christian holiday that is observed to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Growing up in California, I remember my parents and a lot of family members would always gather to go to a big park. By where we used to live, there was a park called Irvine Park, and it was huge, you know, and it would bring a lot of people together. And the most important thing was not the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the fact that we were gathering to hide the eggs. And it was something that we used to like to do all the time. And we got so used to it. But us kids growing up, or teenagers growing up back then, our incentive was the fact that the eggs didn't really have candy. They had money. They had $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, and we were all pumped up, excited to go to the park and, you know, have a great time. But about the resurrection, there was very little. We always knew that the celebration was important. It had to do with Jesus Christ. It had to do with his death and the fact that he, you know, raised from the dead. But there was no celebration about that. And primarily because we were not fully Christians at that time. We just had a general idea about, you know, God and Jesus. So later, I got married, and I started doing the same thing with my kids. Backyards, parks, we would take them out, and we would, you know, also do the same thing. And then we became Christians, and the question was, you know, a little bit about, should we be doing that? Should we be celebrating the Easter Bunny as well as, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And the thing of the matter is, me personally, I never saw nothing evil about the Easter Bunny. But I can see that because of the fact that it was introduced in a particular time when Jesus was resurrected, or Jesus, you know, resurrected from, you know, after he was crucified and died, then the attention was the one that we were mostly concerned. The attention was basically the Easter Bunny, not the resurrection. But in our case, as Christians, I think it's important for us to just explain our kids, you know, that the most important thing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, if they can have fun, you know, with the little eggs, I don't see anything wrong with it, because it's not really, you know, it doesn't have anything evil about it. But it was just the fact that, you know, it was introduced, you know, at a particular time to celebrate something else that has nothing to do with, you know, with Christ. But that's the reason why we're here, right? Every Sunday we gather because we want to make sure that we glorify the risen Christ. Every Sunday we do that in remembrance of that. So because we're here this morning, we're going to now talk about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the question is asked, how important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We're all probably will say it's very important. If you believe in the resurrection, you believe in God. And because it is, we're going to now read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles and you're ready to read, it says like this: "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which I also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." This is very important because what Paul starts saying is a reminder to the brothers and sisters over at the church of Corinth. But why does he have to remind them? Well, let's start off by understanding a little bit about what Paul did, you know, in his letter. He got word a while back when before he wrote this, that this church was having an issue. They were having problems. Chuck Smith said this church was messed up. And I found that kind of interesting that he would say that in his commentary. But it was that kind of problems that they were having. And so in the first 14 chapters, Paul is addressing a lot of issues the church of Corinth had. And he does this by exhorting them and encouraging them so that they can remember everything that he preached to them. And it gets to this point where now is the time of the resurrection. These people were not believing in the resurrection anymore. So what does that mean? They were no longer believing in Jesus Christ. And it was important for him to write this to them because the resurrection is the gospel. The resurrection is Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, there's nothing. Right? And so we understand that. And somehow they were they were somehow having this issue where they were no longer believing in the resurrection. And basically, that's when Paul pretty much says to them, "By the gospel, you were saved." We were saved by the gospel. We were introduced to Jesus Christ, and we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we believed in the fact that he died on that cross and that he rose again on the third day. And we became Christians, faithful believers. And that's what they were. But for some reason, they were having this issue where maybe they were being influenced by others, and they were no longer thinking that the resurrection was part of the gospel anymore. And they were stopping to believe that. But this also, you know, is a reminder to us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important. And not only that, Paul told them, unless you believe in vain. So this brings up some of those persons that when they have accepted Jesus and they go back to their old ways, you know, were they truthful when they accepted Jesus Christ? Or was, you know, what they did in vain? You know, was that not true deep down in their hearts? One of the pastors I got to listen a message about the resurrection asked, whose fault was it that Christ got crucified? And it took me by surprise because I wasn't really expecting, but he said, God. I was like, God? And he said, yeah. And then he quoted John 3:16, and then it made sense to me because God gave his only begotten son, right? Because he loved the world. So he had to die. And the reason why he said, he put it in those terms, but I personally probably would have used other words, But the reason why he put it that way was because this was God's plan. This was God's plan, 100%. And he had to go through all the things that he went through until he got crucified. Paul says, according to scriptures. And according to the scriptures is the reason how we came to learn that Jesus got crucified for our sins. He had to die for the forgiveness of our sins. There was no other way. And this was God's plan from the very beginning. Otherwise, we would not have forgiveness from God for our sins. In Psalms 22, there's a description of the death, crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 12, and chapter 53. As Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reality of sin needs to be acknowledged by all who approach the throne of God for salvation. A sinner must acknowledge the hopelessness of his guilt before God in order for forgiveness to take place. And he must understand that the wages of sin is death. Without this, the foundation truth, no gospel representation is complete. So when we become Christians, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our sins are forgiven. And now we're going to be ready to rise with the Lord when the time comes. But without that, there is no gospel. And that he was buried, Paul says, and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. The nice thing about Paul is that he uses the Old Testament to make reference of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like us nowadays. We use the Bible. We use references in the Bible to support his truth, not ours. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus. Paul said it. This gospel, you know, sometimes we need to put it together in a way that, you know, it makes sense for some of us. When we preach and teach, we preach the gospel no matter what. Everything is the gospel. But in regards to the resurrection, as you already heard, Jesus made one of the fifth of seven I am statements by saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said it to a dear friend, someone who had hopes that he would come to the aid of Lazarus when he wasn't feeling good. But he said, where he was, you know, they even asked him, shouldn't you go? He said, no, I'm okay. I'm going to take an extra 2 days here. And he let him die. Let Lazarus die, his friend. But there was a purpose for it. And when he meets Martha, and Martha says to him, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would be alive. And that's when he gave her this I am statement that he is the resurrection and the life. He's the only one with that power to be able to, you know, die and resurrect, you know, from the dead. You know, I think about dying and I think in a way is our hope to die because we feel we're going to be in the presence of the Lord once we do that, once we pass. But at the same time, I feel like tormented that really death, you know? And I think about the stuff that Jesus Christ went through and how he had to die. And I'm like, man, I got it easy. You know, this is not bad. But we have to die in order to be with the Lord. We have to die. And that's kind of what he tried to show these people, although they didn't get it at that time. We do now because we have the scriptures. He had to die. And when Jesus told Martha, don't worry, he's asleep. He understood, she understood what that meant, that he was going to rise again. But he didn't mean that he was asleep because he was going to actually bring him from the dead. And when he calls out Lazarus from the tomb, you know, people are like thinking, this guy is already dead. You know, he probably smells bad. You know, how is this possible? And we would think that way, right? I mean, who's going to, you know, want to see a bad smelly dead person get up? But no, not Jesus. He calls him out and says, Lazarus, come on out. And he did. And that was the proof of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has the power to raise people from the dead. And that's our hope. This Jesus shows that neither death nor time is an obstacle to him. Outside the tomb, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out forth. The dead man came out. It's one thing to claim to be the resurrection and the life, but Jesus proved it by raising Lazarus, who was 4 days dead. I don't even know after how many days the body starts decomposing, maybe 2 days a day. I don't know. But 4 days. Anybody who dies or has died momentarily, it's resuscitated, not resurrected. I learned that. And nobody has actually been able to prove to be dead for 4 days and then rise again. Only Jesus. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are skeptical. You know, Martha went to the tomb to see about Jesus, and she showed up and the tomb was opened. And that must have, you know, scared her in a way, because they were already thinking, well, somebody came in here and stole the body. Or who took the body? Where's the body? And they had all these questions. Jesus was already out. And talking about the open tomb, I was in Knoxville a couple of weeks ago, and I drove through this highway that had a open field, and there was a tent in front of a church that had a tent with like a sliding door like the barns normally have, and it had a big old circle. And the thing is, I drove through it the first time, I drove through it the second time, and by the third time I looked over again, and I'm like, they probably do some sort of a show when, you know, Jesus resurrects, because I could make out the fact that it was a door, a tomb that, you know, was opened. And I was like, that's what they do. They celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, various other women, two unnamed disciples, Peter, and the rest of the remaining 11 apostles. Scripture says that after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, Paul says, as to the one abnormally born. Now, this you can find actually right there on 1 Corinthians where we were reading. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 5. It says that he was seen by Cephas. And then he was seen by Mary Magdalene and the apostles. And the question is, why do you think Jesus did that? It wasn't like he was trying to be Casper the Ghost and start, you know, scaring everybody out there. But that's kind of what he was doing. But the main reason was that so that they could believe what he had said before, that people could believe what has been said in scriptures. So he had to prove one more time. And see, we're very skeptical, right? Who was that one guy that said, I will not believe until I see him? Thomas. And he had to hold his hand and come and touch, you know, where I was, you know, stabbed, you know, where the holes in the hands, you know. And that's how we are. We don't believe until we see. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have believed and have not seen me. And that's why the gospel is very important. The gospel is Jesus Christ and the revelation of Jesus Christ from the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of the book of Revelation. It's all about Jesus. Why? Because it was the way and the only way God planned the redemption for us. Without Jesus, there's nothing for us. We live in a fallen world, and we need to be very, very careful because the devil is out to get us. You know, one time I was being asked about, you know, the devil, and all I could think was, you know, the devil doesn't have to worry about those that are not believers because he already has them. He worries about us because he still wants us. He wants to take us with him. And why is that? Because he already knows where he's going. It's already been said where he's going. That's why when we come to church, it is for us to learn and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, because without him, there's no salvation. Without him, there's no hope. Without him, we're just lost sheep without a shepherd. Plain and simple. We need to be on top of the gospel. Some have suggested that a larger body of witnesses would have provided more compelling evidence, thereby swaying more people to believe in Christ. Why did Jesus not appear to more people after his resurrection? I think it's because he only had 40 days. But he had to go and be with the Lord. But he had 40 days to do all that. And I think he did a really, really good job because, see, he knows the kind of people we are. He knows we have to believe in a certain way. And for him, it was probably important to have witnesses that can actually go out and say, yeah, he rise from the dead. It's true. And Paul was one of them. He said, I learned the gospel. They taught me the gospel. And I went out and preached the gospel as I did to you, to the Corinth, you know, to the church of Corinth. Pastor Don teaches us the gospel every Sunday. And it's important for us to grow in the word so that nobody can trick us into believing other things that is not Jesus Christ. I told my wife a few weeks ago, there was some sort of a storm with high winds. And I said, you know, I don't worry about the storms and the tornadoes. And she's like, oh, no, but the weather people are saying that it's going to be coming through here and that we got to be careful. And I said, you know, I live in Church Alley. That's the road down Hughes. There's like about 10, 15 churches there. I don't think the Lord is going to allow a tornado to come through here, you know. I've been here 2 years and nothing's happened. But I'm not saying it as a, you know, as something bad about, you know, other churches. It's just that the Lord is magnificent. It's a lovable God that you need to fall in love. Listen, I personally will share what God has put in my heart, but with love. I don't want to, you know, enforce, you know, God's word on anybody. You have to fall in love with the Lord. You have to have that feel that Jesus loves you and that whenever you're walking anywhere, he's right beside you, holding your hand, watching you. You know, you might say, well, I don't know, how would that work? Well, I think I've shared with maybe one or two of you that in the spirit, I'll give you an example. In California, I was driving westbound on the 60 freeway. It's got a carpool lane. I was on the carpool lane, and all of a sudden, someone just wanted to cut me off and came into the carpool lane, and all I could feel was my car just going up like an air ride system, and then it came right back, kind of like there was a hold momentarily, and nothing happened. And I was like, how is that possible? And all I could say was, it had to be the Lord looking out for us. Does this thing happen to everybody? I don't know. I have felt like in the spirit, I'm in a bubble. Like where, you know, I can see all these things happening around me, but I'm not part of everything else. And I feel like I'm protected. We need to continue to learn how to live in the spirit, and we can only do that by staying on scriptures. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our hope. True? Yes. Do we have to be hopeful every time? Yes. Do we have to stay in the word? Yes. Do we need to learn to live in the spirit? Yes. If you don't know what that means, it means you allow the spirit to guide you, so that when it convicts you, you realize that is the Lord, you know, saying, don't do that, don't go there, you know. But if first and foremost, we learn to put God's things first for what he is asking us to do, most likely, I'm not going to say that you're never going to have problems, but most likely you're going to have the support of the Lord, and you are going to be able to walk more comfortable knowing that the Lord has you. I learned this because I have always said that anything that we do, anything we say or do for the Lord, it is the Lord. See, if we worry, and I can give you another example, I used to do outreaches, and we used to have people that were very, you know, negative, and they were like, hey, it's dark, it's going to rain, I don't think we're going to have their outreach. Now, all I could say was, if this is the Lord, He will make it happen. And guess what? I got to see clear skies after, you know, a cloudy morning or a cloudy day so that that could, you know, take place. Why? Because it is the Lord's. And that's what I mean by living in the Spirit. You need to learn to see these things. Amen? Let me get you to stand because we've been here for quite some time already. And I'm gonna do the prayer that Pastor Don always does so that we can all go home. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Mm-hmm.